All right, you have your Bibles, take them and turn with me to Psalms 40, verse 10. We're going to look at this morning. I want to talk with you about faithfulness. I know this morning we had an opportunity to honor a young man with a scholarship of $1,000 to help with his college education. Do you know the reason that Tyler was the one who received that scholarship? It's because of his faithfulness. It was because of a young man's heart and a desire to serve Jesus. It was because not only was he one who participated in Sunday school and extracurricular activities, but also he's one who seeks to honor God with his life. And brother, I just want to applaud you this morning for your faithfulness. And I say you keep up the good work as God uses you in the future. Brother, I appreciate you so very, very much. I want to share a story with you to talk about faithfulness this morning. There's no better way for any of us to talk about faithfulness than, I think, to share a story about a man's best friend, a companion that's going to stick by you through thick and thin. How many of you have that kind of an animal at home, that dog that you love? You know that dog loves you. You know that dog is going to be there. It doesn't make any difference what you do. That dog is going to be your best friend. Now, for some of you, it might be a cat. Yeah, right. But for most, it's going to be that dog. Well, I want to tell you a story of a true story of a dog named Hatchie. How many of you have watched that movie? I think it came out in like 09 or something like that. But it's a true story. The story actually took place in the early 1900s. This dog, it was on a train, and it was with its owner. It was a puppy. The dog somehow, some way, ended up getting separated from its owner, from its original owner as a puppy. At a train station, this dog ends up getting left there, and a professor comes by. He gets on the train every single day in order to go to the university that he taught at, and he saw, upon approaching the train station, there was a puppy that was just kind of lost and just wandering around. So the professor went up to the dog, got the dog, took it to the attendants at the train station, but they wouldn't take the dog. So he left the dog there. He came back that afternoon, and after he had taught his classes, and he realized that the puppy was still there, that no one had claimed the puppy. And so the professor ended up taking the puppy, and he took him home. So he ends up teaching this puppy, tries to teach him how to fetch. The dog just won't fetch. It's not going to go and get the ball or the stick or anything else that the professor throws. And so he's just wasting his time, not really getting anything accomplished. But one day, something phenomenal happens. This dog follows the professor all the way to the train station as he walks. And he gets up on a bench, and he stays. He watches the professor as he gets into the train, and he pulls off. And he's there, and he waits until the professor comes home back to the train station that afternoon. The dog is there waiting, and he goes on to do this. And the story goes on to say that Hatchie is faithful to do this every single day for 10 years. Now, you think that's the best part of the story, but reality is that's not the best part of the story. Something happens, and the professor gets sick, and he ends up dying. And so for 9 years following this professor's death, the dog every day goes back to the train station thinking that his master is going to return for him. Now, friends, that's what I call faithfulness. I think we can all learn something from a story like that. Tyler, I think you had that kind of faithfulness when it comes to serving King Jesus. And again, brother, I want to exalt you just a little bit. And I think, you know, Scripture tells us, and I'm confident of God's Word, that if you'll humble yourself, that God will raise you up. And I think you get a little bit of that this morning. Now, I don't want you to get a big head so that when you leave, you run into a wall or anything. But I want you to know that, brother, your faithfulness has been seen, and we appreciate that leadership that you've shown. So I want to share with you, according to the Word of God this morning, several points, but I want to ask you to turn to Psalms chapter 40, verse 10, and honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Scripture says, "I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Will you pray with me? Father God, Lord, today as we spend time in your word talking about what faithfulness looks like, I just ask that you would give us a glimpse of what you expect in terms of our faithfulness to you. Father, that you would remove all outside distractions, that you would help us focus solely on what you would have us learn today. And we ask it all today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we move along, as we talk about faithfulness, I want to share with you. Listen to me. I want you to know that always and forever, you can always depend on the faithfulness of God. Can I get an amen there? You can always and forever depend on the faithfulness of God. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, I don't know if you're aware of that, but he's living in a very dark, dark world. And the weeping prophet, he falls on his knees and he just mourns for his country and his people. But God is laying something on his heart. And here in Lamentations, this is what he says, I think, as we talk about this being faithfulness being the seventh fruit of the Spirit that we're looking at through this sermon series called Fruit, Faithfulness. And this is what Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now I love how that concludes. It says, great is God's faithfulness. How many of you know the song, but not only know the song, you love the song that says, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And I wish I could sing it. And brother, you may have to come up here and help with it because I'm just not the one who can do it. But I'm going to try. And the reason I'm going to try is because I want to be faithful to my King. And so here's some of the verse, some of this song. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to kind of poetry read it. That'd be better for you. Amen? Oh, me? All right, y'all didn't have to agree with that. But listen to this. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow or turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Isn't that good? It talks about God's faithfulness. How he has been is how he will forever be. What is that saying? That our God is unchanging. Yesterday, today, and forever, according to the scripture, our God remains the same. But, you know, more importantly than you getting that, the third verse for me captures everything. And I've got to read it because I don't know it as well as I should. But listen to this third verse. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Okay, I'm not going to do that anymore, but listen to the rest of it. Yeah, good. All right. You made me lose my spot because you was talking to me while I was trying to preach. All right, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own great presence to cheer and to guide. Listen. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Then he says this, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have need thy hand that provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord unto me. Man, I don't know about you, but that says something very, 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 very powerful to me. God speaks to my heart when I think about how faithful my God is. In other words, what I'm trying to establish and help you realize is that God is going to see you through it if he brings you to it. You know that, right? In every instance or every situation of your life, God is faithful. As a child of God, listen to me. God is going to be faithful to you according to what his word says. If his word says it, I'm going to share with you today because many of you may not know this or believe this, but if God's word says this, then you can claim this. That's the promises of God, and I'm so thankful for God's promises. You know, as a child, I remember when we would sing this song in church, I would say, great is my faithfulness. And I'm going to tell you, that's the one thing that I'm not when compared to my King Jesus. I want to be, I desire to be that kind of faithful. Amen, don't we all? But when we are compared to our King, we fail in comparison. I'm so thankful that my King is faithful. Listen, I want to share about five verses with you real quickly. And I want you to write these down, and you can look them up later. I'm going to share just the important parts of it. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, that when we're faithless, He remains faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. When we are faithless, He remains faithful. Even when I'm weak in my faith, my God remains faithful and strong to me. I love that. Listen to what 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, that He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Can I tell you, as we talked about, great is thy faithfulness, I'm so thankful that my Jesus pardoned my sin. Amen? I don't know about you, but I understand the value of that kind of pardon, because when it comes to just me, I'm a miserable man. But God has forgiven me. He's pardoned my sin. When King Jesus looks at me, He doesn't see my mess up. He sees the righteousness of the blood of Jesus covering my sin. I'm so thankful that that wall has been torn in two from top to bottom. Amen? I'm so thankful for that. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, God promises that He is faithful and He'll never allow us to be tempted, listen to me, beyond what we are able to bear. Isn't that good? That God's not going to allow you to be tempted. Now, you're thinking about the many temptations that have been laid out before you by the devil day in and day out. And you're thinking, preacher, some of these things that are laid out before me, I just fail miserably. And I'm going to tell you, it's not because it's been too much for you to bear. It's because you've not taken it to God in those times of temptation. But the Scripture is firm, and my God is firm, and I'm confident in my God that He says He will not allow you, He will not allow me as a believer, as a Christ follower, He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, beyond what you are able to stand against. I want you to take that. I want you to know that about God. Psalms 86 verse 5 tells us that God is abounding in love and faithfulness. God has more than enough for every one of us. God does. He's abounding in it. God's got enough for you. And He has enough for me. And He has enough for the rest of the world to go around and around and around from the beginning of time of creation until the end of the time of creation when we spend an eternity with God. He has enough to go around. That's good, isn't it? God's got enough. And then Psalms 100 verse 5 tells us this, that God's faithfulness continues through all generations. Just kind of reflected on that a little bit. God's faithfulness continues through all generations. What does that mean? Forever. Forever. That's what His faithfulness continuing through all generations mean. From the beginning of creation, when God created Adam in the garden, and then he caused that sleep to come upon Adam, He made him a helpmate from a rib. From that moment on, from you to your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren, God is faithful, continuing on until forever gets here. That's God's faithfulness. Can I tell you again, our God is faithful. Do you agree with that? God is faithful. God is faithful, and I want to tell you, in your times of discouragement, in your times of heartache and pain, I want you to be able to trust in the faithfulness of God. A lot of times what we do during those hard and difficult moments in our life is we turn away from God, when in fact the one thing that we should do is grab a hold of Him and hold on even tighter. That's what we should do. And so sometimes we have that role reversed, but I want you to understand that God will never leave you nor forsake you during that time, because God is faithful. Have we established that this morning? Now I want to share something with you. We talked about God's faithfulness. Now let's talk about us for a minute. Do you know that God rewards our faithfulness? Isn't that good? God rewards our faithfulness. And God has a lot of things that He can reward us with. But listen to what Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says. Be faithful even to the point of death. Listen to this. And I will give you the crown of life. We talked just a minute about this in Sunday school this morning as we were looking at the story of Daniel in chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And they were faithful. Can I get an amen? They were faithful. They had already made it a point. They had made a decision that it did not make any difference if their life was threatened or even if they were taken to the execution chambers, that they were going to remain faithful to their God. And they did that. They remained faithful, but because of their faithfulness as they were hauled off and cast into the fiery furnace, God was faithful. God came on down right there where they were. Nebuchadnezzar looked down and the scripture says, according to Nebuchadnezzar, it looks like one who appears to be the Son of Man is walking around there with them. Didn't we throw three in there, yet there are four and one walking around with them? Do you know that God blessed them in such a way that when they came up from the furnace, that their clothes were still completely intact, that their hair wasn't even singed, and the fire was seven times hotter than it was normally? But they remained faithful, and God remained faithful. And I think the point of that for you and for me is sometimes as we live our lives, our feet are going to be placed to the fire. You know this, right? Sometimes you're going to be placed in very, very difficult situations. In those situations, are you going to be faithful to hold on to God as He holds on to you? Or are you going to let go and walk away? And my prayer is for you that you're like these Hebrew children, that you hold on to God, that you don't let go, that you don't turn away, but that you remain faithful. How many of you are familiar with Old Faithful Geyser at Yellowstone National Park? You've heard of it, right? Do you know that you can set your clock by that watch? I looked some statistics up. I want you to listen to this because it's pretty amazing. This thing is more predictable than any of the other geysers, and listen to some of the statistics. If the previous eruption lasts less than 2.5 minutes, the next eruption occurs 65 minutes later. If one eruption, as it's blowing through its spout, if it lasts less than 2.5 minutes, the next eruption is going to occur 65 minutes later. Listen to this, though. This is just amazing. If the eruption lasts more than 2.5 minutes, the next eruption happens 91 minutes later. If the eruption lasts longer than 2.5 minutes, then the next eruption happens 91 minutes later, and you can set your watch by it. During some of the wars that we've fought in the United States, some of the soldiers would actually go, and because of the timing of this, they would actually take their clothes off and put them in the geysers. But they found some things out that if they had wool clothing, that the geyser, when it blew its top, that the wool would just disintegrate and be destroyed. But if they had cotton clothes, that the cotton would just blow up in the air and come back down, and they would go pick their cotton items up. Isn't it neat? I like history like that. I think it's very, very neat. But I want to give you the takeaway truth of the day as we begin to wrap this thing up. The takeaway truth of the day. This is the one point, if you don't get anything else out of today, you need to get this as we talk about faithfulness. The take-home truth of the day is this. Faithfulness looks like fellowship with the Father. Faithfulness looks like fellowship with the Father. And this is where Psalms comes in. Psalms 40, verse 10, it says this, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. And so what he's saying is this, that the psalmist is not ashamed of his relationship with God. Now, we live in a world that would dictate how you respond to people out in the community based on your relationship to Jesus. Now, a lot of people are going to look at you. If you're going to be faithful to God, then you're going to walk with your head held high. You're not going to be downcast. And wherever you go in the world, in the community that we live in, you're just going to have an air about you that seeks to honor God. I mean, people are going to see the smile on your face. They're going to experience the joy in your heart. And And they're going to want to know what's going on with you. And you're going to tell them it's because of my Jesus. And they might laugh at you. They might poke fun at you. And all of that, it matters about as tall as we can stack some beans. It really doesn't make a lot of difference what the world says. It doesn't matter how they chastise us. The problem with us is we have so little faith in our God and our ability to remain faithful to God is that when you and I begin to have people poke fun at us because of our relationship to Jesus, we run away and cower in the corner. And so Paul said this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed. So for you as a Christ follower, as a believer, as a Christian, you have to be sure of your relationship with King Jesus. And when you're faced or you're put on trial as a believer, you cannot be ashamed of who God is in your life. You can't be ashamed of that relationship. Yet so many of us are. So many of us fail. So many of us falter because we don't want to be made fun of. We don't want people jeering or sneering at us or snubbing their nose up. We don't want them looking at us funny. We don't want them talking behind our backs. But I'm going to tell you that we got to get over that because the Scripture tells us that life is but a vapor. Hey, we're only here for a short time. But we're in eternity. Do you know the essence of eternity is forever? We're going to be in the presence of God, the one who sent his son to die for each of us. We're going to spend an eternity in his presence. So you tell me, does it make more sense for us to cower in a corner in this life that is but a vapor? Or does it make more sense for you and I to remain faithful regardless of how we're persecuted? Regardless of what people say? Regardless of whatever happens? Friends, I tell you, it's more important that we remain faithful. Because the Scripture tells us in Matthew 10:33, it says, whoever denies me before man, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Friends, let it never be said of us. Amen? Let it never be said. If you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. That hurts. I'm going to be honest with you. Just saying that, I can feel an ache in my heart. I'm not exaggerating. If you deny me before man, then I'm going to deny you before my Father in heaven. And so I say, please, Lord, let it never be said of me that I'm ashamed of you. Let it be never said of me that I will deny you before man. Let it never be said of us. Let it never be said that we've denied God in our lives. When we have an opportunity to tell the world about Jesus, we don't deny him. But we tell the world the importance of our relationship. So I want to ask you something. You might not need to say this out loud because God has already looked at the heart. Are you ashamed? When it comes to certain situations, certain things that you face, are you ashamed? Are you ashamed? And my prayer is that you say, no, preacher, I'm not ashamed. So here's the last thing that I submit to you. It says, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart, but I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. So here it is. You got to be vocal about it. If you're not ashamed, then there's opportunity every single day. I believe in divine appointment. I'm going to tell you. I believe God offers us an opportunity every single day to honor him. If you're at a restaurant and you don't do anything but pray over your food, do it out loud so the rest of the people can hear you. I've been trying to teach that to my children for years and years and years. And wherever we go, I make sure that somebody in my family is praying. One of my children. We're always trying to honor God. We always want people to know that we're there and we're eating and enjoying a meal together. But we're going to bless this food and we're going to honor God in the name of Jesus in the presence of everybody or whoever's around. And that's just a little way that we can honor God. That's just a small way. But it's a way. And I pray that we're able to do that. And so I want you to be vocal concerning the God of your salvation. Have you declared him? Have you declared him? Here it is, his loving kindness. His loving kindness. Listen. What does it mean, his loving kindness? It means this. When God opens that door and he places us in front of someone to present or to share our testimony about who God is, it simply means that you're going to share with that individual about God's love. That's what it means. You're going to let them know, hey, God loves you. Not only does he love you, but he sent his son to die for you. And then you can even share the verse that everybody in the country knows. What is it? For God so loved the world that he gave. We talked about that a little last week. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Gosh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that promise. And so you share his loving kindness. And then you share his truth. What's this? Listen to me. It's pretty simple. God loves you. Jesus died for you. We make it so much harder than it has to be. God loves you and Jesus died for you. You know, there's some things that we need to share with them to help them realize that Jesus is not dead in the grave, right? But God loves you and Jesus died for you. Literally what that means is that he went to the cross willingly sacrificing himself so that your sin would be forgiven. So, okay, preacher, today, what do I need to do to have my sin forgiven? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's this. It's, first of all, confess that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Because I'm going to tell you, when it boils down to it, there's no one perfect. No, not one, the Scripture tells us. And so you've confessed, first of all, that you messed up. You confess that you understand that in order for you to go to heaven, that on any scale that we might try and weigh our goodness versus God's goodness or God's holiness for us to be able to get into heaven, God's requirements, your goodness is never going to add up. And so you acknowledge that, first of all, that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And then you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead that you might be saved. And then you go on a journey to learn what his word has to say. Then you go on a journey and you begin to talk with him. You go on a journey and you begin to communicate. Every single day you set aside some time so that you can spend it in the presence of King Jesus, learning from him and growing in righteousness every single day. Every day. But it starts with the confession of sin and the acknowledgement of your need for a Savior. And so in closing, maybe you're here today. I want to ask you something. If you were to place your faithfulness to God on that scale of God's righteousness and God's requirements, would your faithfulness win? Or would God's righteousness and God's requirements outweigh your faithfulness? See, I don't know where you are as a believer this morning, but I'm firmly confident in this. That wherever you are in your relationship with King Jesus, tomorrow God desires that you be just a little bit closer. So you have an opportunity today. You have an opportunity just like that dog. Every day he was faithful. He went and he waited for his owner, for his master at the train track. Every single day he was there, when walked to work with him, and then he would go home. But before his owner, his master, came home from work, every single day the dog Hatchie would make it back to the train station, and he would be there with a wagging tail waiting on his owner's return, waiting on his master's return. Are you that kind of faithful? As a Christ follower, are you that kind of faithful? And then maybe you're here today and you've heard about God's faithfulness for the first time. And you believe that you're ready to enter into that relationship with him. Hey, then just confess your need for Jesus to be Lord of your life. Confess your sin and invite him in to save you from your sin and yourself. And then let's go on a journey together. Can I pray with you today? Father God in heaven, Lord, in the matchless name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and we praise you. Lord, I want to thank you that you are faithful beyond measure. That you're so faithful to us. That even when we are not faithful, even when we lack in our ability to be faithful to you under diverse circumstances, Lord, you remain faithful to us. Father, as we've learned through the Word this morning, give us the strength always to be faithful, that we would never deny you before man. Lord, give us opportunity that we might confess you before the world, that you are Lord of our lives. Lord, give us the strength never to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, if it were not for the gospel, then I wouldn't have my salvation. Lord, if it were not for the gospel of Jesus, if it were not for the death, burial, and the resurrection, there'd be no hope for us today. So, Lord, we just thank you that we have an opportunity to experience your faithfulness anew every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand this morning? Would you stand? Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, would you come today?